Psalm 119, we're looking at verses 25 to 32. And if you've got a full Bible, you'll notice that the section is headed by the Hebrew letter Daleth, and then the English letters Daleth. We've looked at Aleph and Beth and Gimel, and now we're looking at Daleth. This word is inspired by the Spirit of God. It's, in Hebrew, it's an acrostic poem. An acrostic poem is where you start each sentence with a particular letter. It might be a word. In this case, it's first eight verses. Every verse starts with the letter Aleph in Hebrew.
Yes.
In the next section, every verse starts with the letter Beth. And we come down to Daleth tonight. This section, every verse begins with a word which begins with the Hebrew letter Daleth. And so you've got a pattern. It's like a poem. Not quite like our poems, it's like a poem, and it goes all the way through the Hebrew alphabet, section by section. And in each section, that section begins with that particular letter. Every verse begins with that particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And my understanding in this is that this isn't just a nice piece of artistic work. This Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and therefore there's a point to it. And unfortunately, because we've got a translation into English, we might miss some of the points which come out. And particularly tonight, there is a particular pattern tonight if we look at the Hebrew word that starts each sentence. Because it's not always the word that we've got in English.
No.
And it might give us a better understanding. So don't worry too much about the Hebrew, but let's look at the words as the Hebrew words are positioned. Let's just read it first. So it's verses 25 to 32, and it starts, "My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me according to your word." That word quicken in Old English means make alive. Make me alive according to your word. "I've declared my ways and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. So shall I talk of your wondrous works. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto your testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart." Lord, we pray you'll bless your word to us tonight. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Build us up and strengthen us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And from a quick look at this psalm, we get the idea that there's a battle on. There's a spiritual battle on. And if you haven't realised that as a Christian yet, there's something wrong. There's a spiritual battle on.
Yeah.
I think sometimes today, when we look at some modern Christian churches, there's no battle there. It's all about enjoying what's in the world. Well, the Bible says whoever wants to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We want to know what God has for us and what God, the way that God would lead us. And there is a battle on. And it should be one that we know only too well. You find it in the Old Testament, you find it in the New Testament. There's a battle on. In ourselves, we find that there's a battle with the flesh and the old nature. There's a battle against sin. The enemy is always trying to get us into sinful ways. He's trying to deceive us along the wrong pathway. He's trying to get us to do things that are not right. He tried it with Jesus. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And there were three occasions when the enemy came. There were three areas of temptation.
Yes.
But he was trying to get Jesus to do what wasn't right. Yes. To stop trusting the Father, to stop trusting the commission he'd been given to do, and to do things a different way. There's a battle on. And you know, the old enemy tries, and the world itself, which is the enemy system, tries to drag us down. And if we're sitting quietly and enjoying all the things that the world has to offer, and pop into church on Sunday just to ease our conscience, there's no trouble from the enemy. But as soon as we start doing things for the Lord, and living according to his word, and doing what he's told us to do, then we find there's problems, then we find there's difficulties, then we find there are things going against us. Don't worry about it. We're in a battle. But we're in a battle that the Lord has said we can be victorious in, and get the victory, and can be overcomers. Praise the Lord. You see, the enemy would seek to drag us down into the mire and the filth of death. But in God's word, there's always an answer. There's always a certain hope. And this first verse, verse 25, it doesn't start with my soul in Hebrew. It starts with stuck. Lord, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
My soul is stuck. And the emphasis is there on the problem. Stuck. Where's he stuck? This old-fashioned word, cleaves, in the Authorized Version. It means stuck. My soul cleaves to the dust. What's the dust? It's the place of death. The consequences of sin. You see, God said to Adam when Adam sinned, he said, dust you are,
yes. And
to dust you will return. Death. There's the pronouncement of judgment upon sin.
Yes.
And the psalmist is crying out, Lord, I'm stuck, my soul is stuck to the dust,
yes. That
which is death. In Psalm 103, it's just a couple of pages further back, but in Psalm 103, verses 11 to 18, it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame, listen to these words, and he remembers that we are dust. The Lord knows what we are like. As for man, his days are grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his covenants, to do them. If we remember to do what the Lord has said. The Lord knows what we're like. He knows that we're like dust. But praise the Lord, he's watching out for us. And his mercy is there for us when we need it. Psalm 113, verse 5 says, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust.
Yes.
And he lifts the needy out of the dunghill. Praise the Lord. You know you might sink to those depths. The dust of death. The dunghill. All of his corruption and decay. But the Lord can lift us up.
Yes.
We might slip into it time and again. But the Lord can lift us up. Praise the Lord. And the psalmist says, Lord, I'm stuck.
Yes.
I'm stuck in this place of death and dryness. My soul is stuck. But you know, God's word brings us hope of life. And so the cry goes out from the psalmist. Make me alive according to your word. Hallelujah, that word quickened. Make me alive according to your word. You know, if we know God's word, and David knew God's word. If we know God's word, then we can get the promises of God. It might seem hopeless to us and we can't do anything about a situation, but God can. He says, make me alive according to your word. I'm in this place of death. Make me alive. How's it with you? How's it with you? Are your pathways of being spiritually dry, like the dry dust where there's no life? Cry out to the Lord. Lord, make me alive according to your word. Get the promises of God. Get the word of God. This Psalm 119 is all about the word of God.
Yes.
What is commanded? What is given to us? His ways, that we might walk in them. There's salvation, there's life here. Hallelujah. God's word brings us life. Make me alive according to your word, he says. And there's a provision for life there. You look at other verses in this psalm. If we just jump out of our little patch of eight verses here, look at some other verses here. Verse 37. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and make me alive in your way. There's the way of life, in your way, Lord.
Yeah.
Verse 40. Here it is. Behold, I have longed for your precepts. Make me alive in your righteousness. That's where life is, in the righteousness of God. And we know that righteousness through his word.
Yes.
We know that righteousness in New Testament times in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our righteousness. In verse 50, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has made me alive, has quickened me, has made me alive. Verse 88, it just goes on and on. Verse 88. Make me alive after your loving kindness. What's that saying? That loving kindness is the Old Testament equivalent of what we know in the New Testament as the grace of God.
Yes.
It's his grace. It's through his grace that his word comes to us. It's through his grace that all that he has available for us, he makes available. And the psalmist says, now bring it before the Lord. His loving kindness, His grace.
Yes.
Make me alive after your grace, after your loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. And then in Psalm, in verse 93, he says, I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have made me alive. There's the testimony. Afterwards, you've made me alive. Amen. Can we say that this evening? Once we were dead in trespasses and sin, now we've been made alive. Amen. Whenever we get along those dry, dusty pathways of death, the ways of the enemy, look to him, look to his word. In them is salvation, look to his grace.
Yes.
And you'll be able to say, you've made me alive, Lord. You've Amen. Made me alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You know, in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, you know these verses? We should know these verses. This is the New Testament. You has he quickened. What's he done? You has he made alive.
Yes, amen.
Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our way of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, stuck in the dust,
yes.
when we were dead in sins, has made us alive. There it is again, quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, there is not even the whiff of death.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Right.
It's life in the risen Lord.
Yes.
What a wonderful Saviour. Colossians chapter 2. Just a couple of books further on. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 15. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened, made alive together with him,
yes.
having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in him. The victory is in Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The life is in the risen Lord, the one who died and got the victory over death and rose again.
Glory.
Bless the Lord. And when he was crucified, when he died on that cross, everything that was written against you, he dealt with it. He paid the price.
Yes.
Everything that's written against you, everything that would bring you condemnation your way because of what you've done, what you've said, what you've thought, how you've lived, it was blotted out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't exist anymore. Bless the Lord. And you know, the Bible says that all God's promises are yes. See 1 Corinthians. All God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's verse 1. That's verse 25. And in verse 26, the word that comes first in that verse is my ways. There's the problem. My ways. It's the Frank Sinatra song. Sung at so many funerals up at the crematorium there. Again and again you hear it. That's their favourite song. I did it my way. You feel like them. And now where are they? And now where are they? They did it their way. There's only one way. It's God's way. And what's God's way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is only one way. It's his way. And here the psalmist is saying, I'm stuck. I've declared my ways. Ah, that's what's got him in the problem. His ways. But he's declared them to the Lord. That word declared is, it's got the idea behind it of, I have enumerated them. I've counted through them one by one before you, Lord. I've gone through them all. Why has he done that? He wants to get away from his ways to God's way. It's a type of repentance. I've gone before them.
Yes.
I've gone through them, Lord, with you, one by one.
Yes.
And he says, and you heard me. And you heard me. God hears us when we come to him. You know, the Bible says that if we sin, the Lord will not hear us. In Psalm 66, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But verily, God has heard me, he says.
Yes.
He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Why? Because when you come in that repentance, this enumeration is really the psalmist's confession.
Yes.
And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we come in repentance and faith and trust, God hears us. Even though we're sinners, even though we've done wrong, if we come in that attitude of repentance, he hears us. And the psalmist says, I've declared my ways, I've told you my ways, I've confessed, I've gone through them all, Lord, and you've heard me. Oh Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes, the things that you've said we must do, and not to do the things that you've said we must not do. Teach me your statutes. I was going to look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. Because this is a wonderful little psalm. It describes the situation we were in. We too were stuck. Where were we stuck? In the miry clay. What's the miry clay? That clay underfoot that just drags us down, pulls us down. We can't get out of it. And the psalmist would say, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay.
Yes.
And he set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Instead of sinking down, he lifted us up and established us. Put our feet upon a rock and established our goings.
Amen.
He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. When he shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, the Lord, when he teaches us the statutes, he lifts us up out of the miry clay, out of the dust that drags us downwards, the dust of death, that we might know life in all its fullness in him. And then in verse 27, we come to the third word. And the third word is the way of your precepts. The way of your precepts. God's way. Psalmist says, I'm stuck. My way got me into trouble. Your way is the way of your precepts.
Yeah.
Can you see there's a pattern when you follow the Hebrew words? What comes first in each sentence? I'm stuck. It's my ways that got me into trouble. Lord, I'm confessing them to you. Lord, the way of your precepts. Make me understand them. Let me know your way. And then he says, so shall I talk. It's that word which we came across a week or two ago. It's a word which means ponder. And I made the comment, it actually means conversing with yourself. Talking with yourself. I do it a lot. It's good to talk to yourself. I make sense to myself. That makes sense to other people maybe, but I make sense to myself. But, you know, it's chewing things over. And I should talk to myself. And to others, of course, but to myself. And reassure myself of all your wondrous works. And that word wondrous, we came across that word before. It's a word that means it's too high. It's beyond our understanding, beyond our grasp for all the wonderful works of God. From being stuck in the death of the dust of the earth, there's a way to living and talking of the wondrous things of God which are too wonderful for us to know, too high for us. But God reveals them to us by his Spirit. Doesn't it say that in Corinthians?
Yes.
Man doesn't know, it's not entered in the heart of man, but God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Here's the pattern in those first three verses. Verse 25, the problem. Stuck. My soul is stuck in the dust, in the place of death. Verse 26, the cause of the problem. My ways. And he confesses of the Lord. Verse 27, your ways bring deliverance, bring life in all its fullness.
Right.
And as we follow the next three verses, we'll find we start again with a problem. My soul's melting. And melt is the first word. My soul's melting. Verse 28. There's the problem. The next verse, verse 29, we've got the way of lying. That's my way. The way of lying. Deceit. But then verse 30, the way of truth. These are the words that come first in each sentence. Melt, the way of lying, the way of truth. The same pattern as the first three verses, you see. Problem, my way, God's way. Verse 28, problem, my way, God's way.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. You miss it in English. But it's there in Hebrew, you see. We don't often know the Hebrew. It's just good to know that that's the pattern in Hebrew, and then we can work it out in the English as we look at it. And the psalmist says, melts my soul for heaviness. Putting the word first. My soul is melting for heaviness. That idea of melting, it's an interesting idea, really. Well, we understand what that means, doesn't it? It's as if we're all breaking apart. We have the similar situation where we feel as though we're melting down, we're breaking down, we're in a situation of tears and so on. And this is the mess that the psalmist has got himself into. He says, my soul is melting, it's weeping, I'm weeping buckets of tears, I'm depressed, there's the heaviness of depression and grief and sorrow. You know, it's the state of those believers but have been pulled down by the things of the world. The dust of death, the miry clay. And it brings despair.
Yes.
And don't know what to do. It brings that meltdown situation.
Yes.
His soul has been struck, now it's melting. He's in terrible heaviness and depression. In verse 25, where he said that he was stuck, he cries out, "Make me alive according to your word." Here, where his soul is melting, in verse 28, he says, "Strengthen me according to your word."
Yeah.
It's the word of God, you see. He's coming to it again and again. "Through your word, Lord, make me alive. Through your word, Lord, strengthen me." It's God's word that we need. It's God's word that we need. It's God's word that we need to share from this pulpit, or if we sit around in a circle with one another, whatever way we come to the word of God and teach the word of God, it's God's word that we need.
Yes.
What God is saying. We don't want stand-up comedy routines that some churches have now got into. To entertain the people, to make sure they come back again. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Building up numbers. Preach the word of God and you might not build up numbers, but nevertheless, those who are thirsty and hungry for the word of God can be built up.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. It's God's word that we need. Because in God's word are God's directions, God's guidance, God's promises that we can, by faith, lay hold upon. You know, in Ephesians it says, Ephesians 6, you know these verses no doubt quite well. "Be strong in the Lord." Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand. You may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Amen. And the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
You know, for some believers, some Christians in some churches, you wouldn't believe there's a battle going on. But there is. And if we don't know the word of God, we're going to get to that situation of meltdown. Oh, but hallelujah. We do know him. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. In the power of his might. You see, in verse 29, he goes on about the way of lying. And he's saying, this has been the way that I've gone. The way of lying comes first in that sentence. That's the way I've gone, the way of lying. That's been my way. It's deceit. And sometimes we lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves that the way we're going is right. If it's not God's way, it's not the right way. We need to be going God's way. Salvation and deliverance from all these things is in the word of God. And so he cries out to the Lord, remove from me the way of lying, the way I've gone. Remove it from me. I want your word, Lord. I want your way. I want the truth. Grant me your law graciously. He's calling upon the grace of God. It's that word chesed again. He's calling upon the grace of God. In other words, I don't deserve it, Lord. None of us deserves anything from God. But Lord, in your grace and mercy, hear my prayer and answer my prayer. Bless the Lord. Grant me your law graciously. I think actually in Hebrew that word graciously is the Hebrew word tov, not chesed, it's tov. And tov is good. You know the old Jewish Greek mazel tov? Good. Good luck, something. Treat me good. And verse 30. This is God's way. The way of truth. That's what comes first in the sentence. The way of truth. My way's been the way of lying. But I want to go the way of truth. And the way of truth is your way. Your judgments. Now, Lord, I've laid them before me. I've laid them before me. What is right in God's sight? Not my judgment of what things should be, but your judgments, Lord. I've laid them before me. In today's world, we need to know God's way. Set that as your pathway before you. You know, the psalmist said, didn't he? In Psalm 23, a psalm we all know. He leads me. Where does he lead me? When we put his ways before us, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There's the pattern in this section of the psalm. Of the problem, stuck. My causing the problem, then my ways. Verse 27, but your ways are the ways of deliverance and life.
Yes.
I'm stuck, my ways, your ways. I'm full of weeping and breaking down, I'm melting down. My way's the way of lying. I want to follow the way of truth, your way.
Yes.
It's there, you see. You can only see as you see the Hebrew words there. And what comes first in the sentence. Then you see the pattern that's developing there. And then the last two verses 31 and 32, it's God's way. And he starts off in verse 31, I stuck to your testimonies. Actually, it's the same word that's translated cleave in the first verse. Yeah. Instead of being stuck in the dust of death, he wants now to be, and he testifies now, that he's stuck to the Lord's testimonies. Not stuck down there, but stuck up there.
Yeah.
Stuck to the Lord's testimonies, what the Lord has given witness to. Lord, don't put me to shame. You know, the Lord will never put us to shame if we respond to him in faith. In other words, he will never disappoint us. He will never let us down. Joel said that those that call upon the name of the Lord will never be ashamed. In Acts chapter 11, Barnabas exhorts the new converts, I won't read it, but he exhorts the new converts that they should cleave unto the Lord.
Yes.
Let's stick to the Lord. Stick to his ways. And Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Stick to that which is good, the Lord's way. And so, at the end, the psalmist says, I've stuck to your testimonies now, Lord. I've stuck to your word. Don't put me to shame. He won't. And he says, I will run the way of your commandments. The first word in that sentence there is the way of your commandments. I've run the way of your commandments. Not walking. I've run the way of your commandments. Lord, I will run the way of your commandments where you shall enlarge my heart. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
The Lord will make room for all that he has for us. He will open our heart wide. We might be filled with him. See, it all begins with the heart, doesn't it? And the heart, God will open wide to fill with all that he has for us where there is a trusting heart. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse you know so well, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Open wide your heart tonight and start to run in all that the Lord has for you, and you'll be blessed. All those problems that the psalmist came across, God will make you alive. God will take away from you the false way, that you might be prosperous in him and not in that meltdown experience of everything fails. But you've got to open your heart to him. Let him enlarge it. Let him fill it with his love and with what he wants for you. And then you'll not just walk, you'll run in the things of the Lord. In the Song of Songs, chapter 1 and verse 4, the beloved says, draw me, we will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. He will be glad and rejoice in you. Oh, let's know his ways.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And not get stuck down and bogged down in the wrong way.
Right.
Get in his way. And the Lord will bless us abundantly. And he will open our heart to receive more than we thought possible.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.